Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Songwriting Nation, welcome to the show here on the first Friday in October. Going to be calling our guests momentarily, but a few show notes for you. If you're looking for some wrestling tonight, WCWO happening tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. NWA Supreme in Madison, Indiana. EWF in Covina, California. Tomorrow night, HPW happening in Columbus, Indiana. ICW in Marion, Indiana. White River Wrestling in Fishers, Indiana. Legends of the Ring in Monroe, New Jersey. That is a fan fest featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love. XWX in Dothan, Alabama. WCWC in Portland, Oregon for a television taping. And SCW, where I will be, in Paulsbow, Washington tomorrow night. Well, I'm going to call our guest right now. We are expecting Chief Little Bill, Little Bear, so let me give him a call. I apparently not quite taking the call. QT, I believe. Are you with us yet, QT?
Yes, I am, Sign Guy. I am back from my undercover operations in the Portland area this past 4 days. Yes.
Now, when you say undercover, were you under like an Afghan?
In Afghan, yes. Things are really heating up in Afghan due to ISIS and Putin's Russia bombing them in Afghanistan, and partly Syria, yes. Although I wasn't undercover militarily, I was underneath an Afghan, yes.
Well, that makes sense because it gets cool of a morning now in this pre-autumn October.
Yes,
actually,
it is
autumn, but, you know,
yes.
Still morphing into the autumn weather. Now I'm going to try one more time to call Chief Little Bear. So bear with us, folks, as we give him another call.
Was that a better reference?
Actually.
Please leave a message after the beep.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Chief Little Bear, this is Turnbuckle Turmoil Radio. Are you with us?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4.
Press 4, son guy.
Wow. I was not satisfied with that.
Neither was I. That was the first message we had ever left on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Was it?
I think so. I don't think we've ever had a live recording ask us to leave a message.
All right. It might be we might have just broken new ground.
I think so, yes. Wow, that's fantastic. But talk about breaking new ground. Sanye, what about that action that we saw in Tacoma last week, the Roddy Piper tribute? That was huge and groundbreaking.
Piperpalooza.
Yes.
It was definitely groundbreaking. There were several different promotions coming together for one big cause. Roddy Piper's son, Colt, was in attendance. Watched the entire show from the front row. Representatives from several different companies were in there. HPG Pro style matches, professional wrestling style matches. Lots going on. But I'm going to try Chief Little Bear one more time here, QT.
Okay, I'm going to cross my fingers, yes.
And your toes.
Yes.
Here's Chief Little Bear not picking up. So hopefully maybe he will call into us.
Okay, that yes. We can only hope. But Tanga, you know, I did some research on some of at least one of the videos that you sent me. Did you have a chance to look at Chief Little Bear versus Victor Cruz?
In fact, so.
Well, Sanjay, as you know, he had a blue singlet on, and on the stomach area, he had a bear claw. What do you think this bear claw represented?
Bears.
Yes, but what does the bear symbolize? First, I was going to ask that of the chief. Yes, what qualities make up a bear? They're not exactly. You see, bears, I guess when they're stalked, do bears stalk their prey? That's my first question. Do they stalk their prey?
Well, they aren't normally an aggressive hunter like that, although they do prey upon fish and so forth. And so they would stalk those.
Well, suppose a bear is in the woods there and he's. I suppose if he wants to, he has to get as close to the, let's say, a moose at that as he can, because bears are kind of like sprinters. I think they can reach top speeds of 35 to 40 miles an hour, but they can't really maintain that. So
I believe, QT, we have our guest with us. Do we have Chief Little Bear with us?
Hey, how are you?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
Now, since
how's,
this is your first...
There?
Oh, our weather's a bit damp and cool here in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
Now, our first question for you is something we ask all of the guests that are on our show for the first time. How did you get started in the professional wrestling industry?
Well, that was something I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. And I was watching from Louisiana. I was watching Mid-South Wrestling. And there was, like, you know, Ted DiBiase, Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2. There was a lot of other guys that were there, Junkyard Dog. You know, Harley Race, you know, all those guys there. And one guy actually caught my eye. His name was Stephen Little Bear. And that's kind of why I picked the Little Bear name was to do my own heritage as well, because I'm also Native American. So that's pretty much how I grew to love wrestling, was just watching it on TV.
Now, when you started out in professional wrestling, did you have any type of background in amateur wrestling or martial arts or anything like that to help prepare you when you went into training?
No, sir. It was not available in school. At the time I grew up in the area I grew up in, we just didn't have it. Martial arts, well, I was always in some form of martial arts or not. So I did have some background in martial arts, but like I said, it was more, you know, just watching and just loving the sport. I actually got a late start in life. I didn't start wrestling until I was the age of 25.
When you were getting your start, who were some of the veterans that were around there that helped guide you as a young wrestler?
Well, the guy who trained me, his name was Boris Malenko, and he was the one that trained me, and he has many, many stars under his belt. You know, he tutored Ric Flair, trained Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. X-Pac was there when I was there. He was actually too young to wrestle. So he was reffing my matches, you know, people like that we had out there. But it was a good learning experience having one of the best teachers in the business.
Definitely, Boris Malenko is very widely reputed in the wrestling industry as one of the best trainers of all time. To have someone like Boris Malenko train you, do you think that prepared you better than if you had gone to anyone else in the region for training?
Oh, yes, most definitely. About 2 years before Malenko, I ran across Coco Samoa. And he was another guy who I've seen back in my neck of the woods when I was growing up. And he had a school, so I actually started working with him just a little bit, and just things didn't work out, and I just didn't feel very comfortable there. Nothing that he did wrong, it's just I just didn't feel he was the one for me for training. So, again, like about 2 years went by, and someone else said, hey, there's another school over in Tampa, and at the time I was living in Clearwater, Florida, and I was like, okay, well, sure, I'll go check it out. So I went to his school, and that's when they told me that how many people he's trained and how many megastars come out of his school. I was like, well, this has got to be it. And sure enough, you know, he knew wrestling. It wasn't like I was taught before. You know, he actually knew wrestling, and that's what he taught wrestling. And he knew eventually that it was going to come back around to wrestling. And that's when I started training with him, I realized that everybody else was average. He was well above average so far as learning the wrestling moves, to where the average wrestler today may know one variation of a move. Boris Malenko knew five or six variations of the same exact move. And he was also known as the man of a thousand holds, which probably was very true.
And he was widely known as someone that not only was a tremendous heel, but he was a very scientific wrestler like you alluded to, the man of a thousand holds. Do you think that you over the years have kind of adopted a technical style based in part at least on what you were trying to emulate as far as Boris Malenko's teachings?
Oh, yes. I've actually held true to that to that style of wrestling, because that to me was it. The way I was taught is what I've been doing for the last 26 years. And when I teach the exact same way that he taught me. And it, at the end of the day, it says wrestling. So that's what I teach is wrestling. You know, it's, and that to me, you know, is very good. You can go anywhere in on the globe, on the planet, and I could match anybody's style because of what Malenko taught me on the wrestling end of it. You know, he was very good. He, you know, of course, he was the best. He was definitely the best trainer. He knew every move. And I owe my whole career towards him because he made me who I was today, who I am today. He made me.
Now, over your 26 years in the wrestling business, I'm sure you've had your fair share of bumps and bruises, as all of us that have gotten into a ring have had over time. What's been some of the more significant injuries that you've had to overcome?
Well, about maybe 4 to 6 months into the wrestling, I fractured my hip. And but I never went to the hospital, never really knew I fractured it until probably 10 years after the fact. I was doing some work somewhere else and got a slight injury, and they said, well, you better go take an X-ray. And I'm like, sure, okay. So I took the X-ray for my job. And sure enough, the doctor asked me, did you fracture a hip some time ago? I said, yes, I did. I think so. And he said, yeah, we can see there's a little hairline fracture there, but it didn't heal properly. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess that explains it. Because, you know, I had, you know, pains over the years, but it wasn't never enough to stop me. I still continued on. I mean, like wrestling, you work through the pain.
Absolutely.
And that was really about it. That's about the only real injury I sustained. Again, with the Boris Malenko style, it taught us a lot about protecting yourself so that accidents don't happen. And if they do, you protect yourself so well that the injuries are very minimal.
Now, I know that this past summer there is an annual event held. It was the Boris Malenko Memorial Cup. A lot of Malenko students come together to kind of pay tribute to the late Boris Malenko. Do you think that's kind of a testament to the character of Boris Malenko that so many of his prior students try to pay homage to him by holding an annual tournament like that?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Most definitely does show, you know, a great deal. You know, everybody loved him, and everybody respected him in the business, and we do this in memory of him. And, you know, I hope we can continue to do this for years to come.
You talked about teaching the younger wrestlers yourself now. What led you to get into that aspect of the business?
Well, as I'm traveling around the territories, I noticed that guys weren't wrestling like they should, like doing moves incorrectly. Some of them were okay, and then some of them were like, what were you thinking, you know, and who trained you and who showed you how to do this? So when I saw that and saw a lot of the injuries happen because guys just did not know what they were doing in the ring, that's what inspired me to start teaching because, you know, I didn't want to get out there and get hurt, and I didn't want my friends to get out there and get hurt, so I started teaching my friends. I'm like, hey, look, let me show you how to do this the correct way, you know, and some of them, you know, of course, you know, has egos, and like, oh, well, I already know how to wrestle. Yeah, I know, but let me show you how to do it correctly. And I would show them little bits and pieces of things, and they're like, wow, okay. So then they started wanting me to teach them, and that's pretty much how I got started. And just, you know, having that Malenko style live on was the best style to have. and that's why I teach.
Now, do you think that since you've started teaching some of these wrestlers that the overall wrestling has improved in the shows that you're booked on? Has it kind of picked up and improved not only their wrestling, but kind of picked up the attendance from having taught these guys how to correctly wrestle?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, it really does. But, you know, in some areas that you go into, the fans aren't like they used to be back 40 and 50 years ago where wrestling was still wrestling. Nowadays, they, depending on who you wrestle in front of, they may want to see more brawling. Well, you know, with the Malenko style, you can adapt to anything that comes at you. And by teaching guys how to actually really wrestle and show them why we do what we do and how we do it, the fans, when they see it, they're like, oh, wow, that was great. Oh, man, that was a fantastic move. And then they get caught up in the wrestling end of it. So now you're showing the fans what they used to see, again, back 40, 50 years ago, and you're showing them this is what it is, wrestling. At the end of the day, this is wrestling. So, yes, fans do come in to see the wrestling, of course, now. But, again, it's called sports entertainment, so they also want to be entertained. The same time you're showing them wrestling, they want to be entertained as well.
Absolutely true. At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT has some questions for you, so I'm going to hand things off to him for a bit.
Sure, no problem.
Well, thank you, son guy. Hello, Chief Little Bear.
I'm sorry?
Chief, I saw your YouTube video entitled Chief Little Bear versus Victor Cruz, and this took place on August 13th, 2011, in Panama City, Florida. Was this match a qualifier match for the NWA Gulf Coast Championship?
Yes, I believe it was. Yes, sir, it was.
All right, so it was kind of like a Sweet 16, like they do in the NCAA basketball tournament. You had to work several matches to get to the championship match?
This is correct. You have to sort of climb that ladder, you know, to get up to there, you know. So, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Oh, all right. Now, you, of course, defeated Mr. Cruz in that match. Did he have a chance in the consolation bracket, or was there such a thing?
Yeah, of course, you know, once you lose, you have to kind of start back on the bottom and work your way back up again.
All right. Well, who did you meet in the following round after Mr. Cruz?
You know, it's on video, and I don't remember. It was I know the last guy I faced was Michael Patrick. He was the actual guy that it came up between me and him. And, well, you know, of course, you know, him being a bad guy and a big guy. He was a very big guy. He was a very tough opponent. But, again, he had some help cheating to win the match, and he ended up being the champion that night.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, was this the first time you had met Victor Cruz in the ring?
No, we've actually wrestled a few times in different organizations.
Oh, okay. All right. Had you ever tag teamed with Victor Cruz?
Victor Cruz, he was a tough opponent. He knew how to wrestle, but he also knew how to cheat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, Chief, I was struck by the irony when you openly displayed your tomahawk on the way to the ring and into the ring. From the referee's standpoint, he must have been thinking, well, this could be considered a foreign object at some matches. It can't be during this match for two reasons. The potential foreign object was on display before said owner even entered the ring. Therefore, it was not hidden like 99% of all foreign objects need to be. And two, most foreign objects are not symbolically cultural. Was this tomahawk a family heirloom, and was it handed down to you from a great-grandfather or great-grandmother?
Yes, it has been in the family for quite a long time.
Oh, okay. Can we ask the names of your grandfather and grandmother?
Well, they're from Louisiana. My grandfather was Charlie Billiot. And we call him Charlie B.O. is what we called him. And he actually was the chief of the Homeless Indian tribe, the legal chief, but because he had no political backing, that the title was passed over to someone else who had a little bit more, you know, political background, so he never really became chief, even though he was supposed to be chief, if that made any sense.
Oh, okay.
So when he passed on, the actual chief should have been towards me. I should have been the chief of the tribe, but, you know, there again, I don't do anything in the political realm, so, it passed it to someone else.
Okay. All right. Now, I couldn't quite hear the name of the tribe. Can you repeat the tribe that you were with?
Yes.
Are with?
Yes. I am from the Homeless Indian tribe from Louisiana.
Oh, okay. So you were born and grew up in Louisiana?
That is correct.
Oh, okay. I was stationed in the Coast Guard in Louisiana, aboard a river tender.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Chief, I had to admire the nice fireman's carry that Victor Cruz executed at the 417 mark of this match. One sees this move often executed during freestyle wrestling matches at the high school and collegiate levels. Now, did you say that you had some high school and collegiate freestyle wrestling background, or did you pretty much learn this when you started pro wrestling?
Right. We didn't have wrestling in school. The school that I went to, we didn't have it. We did it for PE, you know, a time or two here and there, but it was never part of the school, per se. But the only thing that I got was when I went to Boris Malenko, and he taught me wrestling. And that's where we learned a lot of amateur moves as well with the wrestling style and adding it to the pro wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Well,
so, for example, the fireman's carry you saw, everyone really knows, and some of them don't even know it. Most wrestlers today don't even know the fireman's carry, let alone there are four variations of a fireman's carry. Some people may only know one. I know four.
Wow. All right. That's interesting because I thought there was only one. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners the three other variations or all the variations?
Well, one variation is where you drop down to your knee and you float the guy over your shoulder. That's one variation, and that's more the amateur wrestling style there. The Malenko style was actually when you lock in, you step with your left foot and your left leg through their legs, and you carry them over your shoulder and toss them to your right-hand side. So it's also the Malenko style fireman's carry. And then, of course, there's the standing fireman's carry.
Okay.
There's two variations of standing fireman's carry on the way you drop the guy. So those are two different variations there, two different standings. Right. So that means that's four variations.
And what is your favorite variation?
I tend to do more the Malenko style. I like taking a deep step in between the guy's leg. That way there's no chance of him even trying to escape. Once you've got him locked in, he's done.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Right.
Very good. All right. Well, Chief, after you open palm slapped or chopped Mr. Cruz at the 4:57 mark, the crowd wanted you to do another one, which you did at the 5:02 mark. The open palm slap to the chest is very similar to the knife edge chop. Who are the top three hardest knife edge chops, the wrestlers that gave you a knife edge chop in your career, the three hardest hitters?
Woo! Well, I would have to say there's only one guy really that I had that hit me really hard, and that would be probably my best friend, who we have faced each other a time or two in the past. His wrestling name is Trooper, and he also goes by Mr. Irresistible. He has two different characters. He, by far, probably chopped me the hardest.
Oh.
And everybody else is sort of, you know, okay. His probably hurts a whole lot more. I mean, he and I, we wrestled in Louisiana once, and we were chopping each other so hard that we were cutting each other. Like, he had a shirt, and I was actually cutting through his shirt and giving him, like, almost bleeding his chest. And he was pretty much cutting my chest, too, that night. So we were both in a lot of pain after the show, yes. Yes.
Oh, boy, that's it. Okay. Whew.
Yes.
Now, did you ask yourself after the match why you were hitting each other so hard if you were friends?
Well, it's like anything else, you know. In the business, you know, friendship you have to throw out the window. And it all comes down to winning. You know, who wants to win? Now, we may kill each other, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're still good friends. And you know what? It's no different if you're facing your best friend and you're on a football team, you know, and you're having to face each other. You're not going to let your best friend get your quarterback, are you?
No. Okay.
So you're going to try to stop your friend as best you can so he doesn't get your quarterback. And that's pretty much the same way in wrestling.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Chief, you wore a blue wrestling singlet for this match, and on the stomach area was a black bear claw. In your tribe, what does the bear represent?
Represents power.
Oh, okay, power, okay.
Power, because the bear is big and very powerful. Not many things can take down a bear other than, another warrior.
Say
a bow and arrow, gun, hunter. But I mean, in the animal kingdom, bear is very, very powerful, very strong.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, Chief, now that we know what the bear represents in your tribe, can you ask what the raven represents and if you would consider wearing a singlet that has on it the raven?
Raven? Well, I would imagine, I don't know, for myself, no, I probably wouldn't wear a raven, even though it is a very beautiful animal, can see everything. It's hard to get past the raven because of the keen eye sense they have, but overall, probably not, wouldn't be my animal to represent, so to speak.
Okay. All right. What would be your second choice if you couldn't wear the bear claw?
Oh, probably. Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably, I don't know. I mean, I've never really given it much thought of another animal. Maybe a coyote, wolf, maybe a wolf. Wolf's very majestic, So another beautiful animal that also represents power in some tribes. Mm-hmm. Very spiritual animal.
Now, Chief, from your tribe, have any women entered the professional wrestling or chose to go into professional wrestling from your tribe?
No, I'm actually probably the only person in my tribe that wrestles.
Oh, wow. Okay. Does this kind of give you celebrity status among the smaller kids, say like the 8 to 12-year-olds?
Right, exactly. Now, I do have a student that is from Louisiana and who is very successful in the business. He actually works for WWE as well. Now, he's from, you know, Houma, Louisiana, too, and I started training him at the age of 14 years old.
Oh, okay.
And he, like I said, he is very successful. He has gone all over. He has been working with WWE for the last, I think, 6-7 years. Japan. He's been to Japan 3 times for WWE. In fact, I think he's getting ready to come back from Japan, doing a tour with them over there.
Oh, wow. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's something that when I was stationed down there, I could never get. How far is Thibodaux, Louisiana, from Houma?
Well, depending on how fast you drive, it could be 15, 20 minutes. Just depends on how fast. It's very close. It's very close. It's not very far. I mean, maybe at normal speed, probably 30 minutes, I would imagine. Not like I said, it's been a very long time since I traveled from Thibodaux to Houma.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken any long trips and gone to Dallas to have some professional wrestling matches all the way to Dallas?
No, I have not. I've never been past Louisiana. We've done Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, of course, Florida, Georgia, been to the Carolinas. When I worked for WWF back in the day, you know, I went out to the Carolinas and, of course, did stuff with WCW. So that was up in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. Did some things there on TV with them. So I did my things with both industries, the company, big company.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chief, at the 8:39 mark, Victor took off from the top turnbuckle and missed with a Randy Savage-like elbow drop, thus leading to his defeat. My question is, do you yourself have a high aerial attack or a high aerial favorite move?
Yes, I do. But, I don't really get on the top rope very much, but I do. I do a flying tomahawk chop where I catch the guy across the chest from the top rope or from the middle rope. I pretty much stick more to the ground wrestling. I stick mainly to wrestling. But I have gone to the top rope at time or two. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. All right. Well, Chief, when I was growing up, one of my favorite comic strips was called Tumbleweeds. The main character in this comic strip was a cowboy named Tumbleweeds and his tobacco-chewing horse that used to be in the Army. In this comic strip, Tumbleweeds often interacts with an Indian tribe whose main characters, besides the chief, were as follows: effervescent elk, bucolic buffalo, limping lizard, and his love interest, Little Pigeon. Once a month, the chief would award a coveted black feather to a member of the tribe who showed outstanding leadership during that month. I noticed your colorful headdress when you entered the ring, but I did not see a coveted black feather. My question is, could the staff at Turnbuckle, including Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page architect Dimitri, send you a black feather for your war bonnet?
Yes, I would definitely display it if you send it to me. I definitely would use it, most definitely.
Oh, all right. Now, are you familiar with this comic strip, Tumbleweeds?
I think I have seen it, but that was very old, wasn't it?
Yeah, it used to be in the 60s and 70s, and I think now it's defunct. I don't think they publish it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so. I remembered it back in the probably very early 70s looking at it, but to remember it, I honestly don't remember it. Like I said, I remember seeing something like that when I was very, very young. It had to have been like 71, 72 maybe, somewhere around there.
Okay. Yes, I really got a kick when the tribal chief handed out that coveted black feather, and he'd go into the reasons why the Indian, for what he did during the month, that usually gave him this coveted black feather. And I always remembered the name Effervescent Elk.
Right.
Okay. Well, you could do a Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment and do a Google search on this comic strip, Tumbleweeds, and you can maybe look up the Indian tribe that Tumbleweeds interacted with.
Sure, I'll do that.
Oh, good. I like giving out homework assignments.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's not bad. I'll definitely look at it. It'll definitely bring back some old memories from when I was a kid.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, Chief, besides the comic strip Tumbleweeds, when I was a little kid, I was drawn to Ripley's Believe It or Not. And an article that stuck out in my mind as a Ripley's Believe It or Not was an article that said that a Pawnee Indian in the 1800s was timed by U.S. Army officials in a mile run, and he reportedly broke the four-minute mile barrier. This was long before Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile barrier in England in 1954. I memorized the name of the Indian that was in this Ripley's Believe It or Not, and his name was Kootah Weekots U'Ili Hulashar. And I thought I'd just mention that to you. Yes.
That's definitely a mouthful.
Yes, yes. Mike, here's a question. Have you ever met any Pawnee Indians, and aren't they from the Midwest?
I don't know if I've met any Pawnee. I've met Blackfoot. I've met Crow. I've met Cherokee, of course, Seminoles. I've met, Arapaho. And that's about all that I remember that I've ever come across, seeing and talking about.
Okay,
I
believe the Cherokee tribe is up near the New England area, right?
I think so, but they were, of course they're all over, a lot of people move and stuff. And I think the one that I met was actually in, I think he lived in Alabama.
Okay.
of all places, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know that the Seminole tribe is originally from Florida.
Correct.
How about the Choctaw?
Choctaw? Yeah, actually, I think I have met some Choctaw, but I don't remember where I've met them. It had to have been through my travels, throughout, the area. Especially me coming out as a Native American, they're all coming out, oh, I'm from this tribe and I'm from that tribe. Oh, okay, well, that's great. Thank you for being here, and they'll always tell me, I'm glad you're representing, us. I'm like, well, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chief, we have, Sign Guy and I often travel to Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland and SCW Wrestling here in Washington State, and a frequent visitor is Chief Atakula Kula. He's the man from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Have you heard of this wrestler, Chief Atakula Kula?
No, I have not. Is he an older wrestler, or is he up-and-comer, or...
Oh, no, he's been in the business for quite some time.
Okay.
Quite some time,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's a possibility we just never crossed paths. He may have stuck to one area, you know. And, you know, I floated quite a bit, but I didn't float too far out, you know, other than, like I said, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, you know, the Carolinas. I didn't go very far after that other than, you know, TV, when I done TV.
Oh, okay. All right. Chief Atakulakula, a huge traveler in the wrestling circuit, even has been to San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yes. When you get a chance after we hang up, you might look him up on Facebook. Yes.
Yes, most definitely. I'll definitely look him up.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chief, have you ever heard of the famous Marine Corps sniper who served in Vietnam, Carlos Hathcock?
Hey. I don't know. Now, the name sounds familiar, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, all right. Well, he was one of our top Marine Corps snipers in history of our country, and the Vietnamese called him Na Tran, because this means white feather, because he used to go on sniping missions with a white feather stuck in the band of his helmet.
Okay. Now that name I know. That name I do know. I didn't remember. I couldn't remember his like real name. But like with me with wrestlers, half the time I don't know their real names. I usually go by their wrestling names. And that name I do remember.
Yes, he was. I believe he won the Medal of Honor, and
yes.
He even was in a duel with a Viet Cong sniper that was sent to kill him. And during his stalk, it was toward the evening, and he caught a glint of something metallic that wasn't natural to that area. And come to find out, it was the scope of the sniper, his
yes.
scope. So Carlos
right.
Hathcock sighted in kind of like on where that reflection was, and he put a bullet down the sniper's, his enemy's scope.
Scope,
and
yep,
it went into
yep,
the sniper's eye. And they made a movie out of this duel. I think Tom Berenger was in it.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, now we talked about turnbuckle turmoil giving you a black feather. I thought I had to balance this interview out with a little white feather trivia.
Right, yeah. Not a problem. That's great. That is good. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, now, Chief, the Native American rock group Redbone had such hits as Which Queen of New Orleans, and their biggest hit, Come and Get Your Love. Have you seen this Native American rock group on YouTube?
No, I have not.
Well, okay, they're Redbone, and sometimes they also, in the videos, they'll dress up in their Native outfits. And I highly recommend that you watch Which Queen of New Orleans, that's a nice song, and Come and Get Your Love.
Right. That's very good. Yeah.
Yes, they very accomplished musicians. Very impressed, yes. Okay.
Oh, okay, good.
And, Chief, one last question. You said that you had to have an X-ray for your job, and this led to the confirmation of your fractured hip. Can we ask what job this was?
Well, back in the day, I used to work for a car place that changed oil. It was an oil changing place, and I had slipped because of the oil that they had. I slipped and kind of fell, but I was fine. You know, I wasn't really hurt or anything. But they said, "Well, just out of curiosity, we're going to need to take an X-ray and make sure you're okay." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, okay." And so I went in, and that's when they found out I had, you know, I fractured my hip some years ago. I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, one of those things. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was for a company that I worked for, yeah.
Oh, and speaking of the Native American rock group Redbone, do you yourself play a musical instrument?
Oh, negative, I do not.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't play music, you know. I like, if I do listen to music, you know, I don't listen to music very much, but when I do, it's mainly Christian music is what I listen to. I'm more into Christian music.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I asked this question because I liked Roddy Piper playing the bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was his gimmick, though. I mean, you know, he was definitely one of those that did that, and I think I believe he learned how to do that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think he, if I remember right, he said that he took up bagpipes at the age of 14.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that, yeah. He was a character. He was a character.
Yes, he was. All right. Well, Chief, you have your homework assignments, one of which is to look up tumbleweeds and
right.
the Indian tribe that he associates with, and hopefully you'll see the chief awarding the coveted black feather. And then maybe to look up Carlos Hathcock, do a little research on him, and then maybe enjoy the rock group Redbone on YouTube.
Yes.
All right, good. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Oh, no problem. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well,
all
Chief,
right.
We have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to give you ample time if there's anything you'd like to say to our listeners today, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything you have, social medias, upcoming appearances, anything at all, floor is all yours to do so.
Okay, well, I greatly appreciate it. I really enjoyed this time we had on the radio. We do have an event coming up, which is tomorrow. It's going to be in Dothan, Alabama, at the Dothan Civic Center. We have a wrestling show called Super Slam, and it is an XWX promotion, Extreme Wrestling Excitement Experience is what it is, Extreme Wrestling Experience. And that's going to be in Dothan, Alabama, at the Civic Center. Floor is open at 5, show starts at 6. And I'll be in the main event. I'll be wrestling for the heavyweight title for XWX. And I think it's going to be in a cage.
Oh, big time main event if you got a steel cage involved.
Yes, yep. I try not to get in steel cages, but when I do, you know, it'll be interesting.
Absolutely.
The guy that has the title now, he's very, very tough. He is a mixed martial artist. He also boxes. He wrestles. So he's going to be a very tough opponent.
All right. Well, Chief, I want to wish you the best of luck tomorrow and all of your upcoming appearances. It was great having you on here, and hopefully we'll get to do this again sometime in the near future.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, if you get the chance, get out there, check out Chief Little Bear if he's on a show near you tomorrow night in Dothan. Should be a great time. Dothan, Alabama, big time wrestling town going back many, many years, so get out there and support that. And QT, I believe we are going to have a bonus guest call in just a moment, someone we've not had on the show in some time. He let me know he wanted to call in and talk to us today, so I'm going to let him know to call in here in just a moment. And I think you'll be
okay.
Pretty surprised, QT, who we have coming on here in just a moment.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Now, QT, I want to remind you and the listeners, tomorrow night you can find me at Paulsbo, Washington, and that is for, of course, SCW. Going to be a big show. You have Kevin Sullivan on the show tomorrow night, Victor I. Price, a heavyweight champion, unpinned, unsubmitted, going to be defending his title. lots of great action tomorrow. And also down in Portland tomorrow, television taping for WCWC. Should be a great night here in the Pacific Northwest. And then Sunday night, first time in Pacific Northwest history, War Games. NWA Blue Collar Wrestling presenting War Games for the very first time. QT, that should be absolutely huge.
And I'd also like to remind our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that Warrior Kids A will be in action at Everett High School tomorrow, an MMA action, if. So, good.
Absolutely. You can check out Warrior Kids A on the Big Book of Faces. Look up Warrior Kid Zay. He has a fan page. Definitely support him. He would appreciate all the likes on that page that he can get. If you're in the Everett area, swing by, check him out. In MMA, he is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. He actually already is, but can you imagine him 2 or 3 years from now, QT?
Yes, I'd like to think that Warrior Kid Z will take inspiration from the Paw Moonshine QT Vokes, our budget deficit steel cage match coming up. Yes.
I hope not. But we have our bonus guest with us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, hey. It's Steve Izzle, yo.
The devastatingly handsome one, Dash Venture.
Dash Venture, how are you?
I'm well. Who's this?
This is Chief Little Bear.
Oh, Chief Little Bear. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Can't complain?
Awesome. Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. I could complain, but I'm trying not to complain. So. Nobody likes a complainer, you know, right? So.
Right, and nobody wants to listen to you, right, when you complain.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Sometimes you can pay people, they might listen.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, you know, if you grab them by the throat and you tell them, hey, you start complaining to them, they will listen once you grab them by the throat.
Oh, well. Come on, aren't you afraid of police getting involved? You know, cops intimidate me, man. I don't want to deal with them.
Right.
Their laws and their cuffs, a few of them are armed, you know. I've never been pepper sprayed, but I've seen it on YouTube, and it doesn't look fun. So, I mean, sometimes I get jalapenos on my Subway sandwich, and now, you know, I got to get through that. That's rough. So, pepper spray, no thank you.
Right, right. Well, me being from Louisiana, I like spicy food, so pepper spray, that'd be okay for me.
Pepper spray to the grill, man, and you just keep going.
That's it.
True warrior.
That's it. You
true
know
warrior.
You got it.
But yep, just chilling, hanging out here, Washington State, soaking it all in. It's not raining, it's actually a decent day today, so that's cool. I'm just walking around enjoying it, you know?
Right, right.
So just you and Sign Guy? No, nobody else on the show tonight?
We got QT.
He's being silent.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, Dash, when was the last time that someone gave you a fruit pie?
I don't know, man. But if you want to get on my good side, you should bring me one of them chocolate pies. Because I look at them at the store, and sometimes they're on sale, you know, 2 for $1. And I'm thinking to myself, well, 2 for $1 ain't bad, you know. You grab it and look at the label, and I could just never bring myself to making the purchase, you know what I mean? But if somebody else could make that purchase for me and just happen to accidentally slip me one, you know what I mean? Chocolate pies, that's fruit ones. You know, that's a...
Right.
I know I'm asking, you know, big thing. I'm asking for a slight gimmick change out of you, QT. I know that's asking a lot. I mean, I don't want to kill your gimmick.
Oh, okay. Well, I was telling Chief Little Bear that there used to be a comic strip, Tumbleweeds, and they used to award the Indian of the Month the coveted black feather. Yes. Do you remember this comic strip, Dash?
What was the strip again?
Tumbleweeds.
Oh, yeah, I read it all the time, man. Good stuff.
Oh! Oh, okay.
Yeah. What was I supposed to say? No? Never heard of it.
Well, I
never
was wondering if Bass had ever received a black feather. Yes.
I never heard of it before, man. No black feathers?
Yes.
I've seen a bird get electrocuted before, though. Does that count? There was a few black feathers after that.
Oh,
I was
okay.
on my way to a show in Canada. It was it a sign of some sorts? I was on my way to Canada for a show. I saw a bird get electrocuted on the way. I thought it might have been a sign. I wasn't sure, though.
Now, was this like a electrical line accident, or did the bird eat it in a power plant type of setting?
It was an electrical line. I would assume it was an accident. You know, I don't know how bad a bird's life's got to get for them to be suicidal. So I'd imagine it was an accident. You know, that's what separates the birds from the non-birds. You know what I mean? The birds, they don't commit suicide. Non-birds, they're the ones. Am I right? Who would want to kill themselves if they could fly? I guess a turkey could be suicidal. I don't know.
Well,
this is actually the first time I've ever tried to put some thought into it, you know? QT, he gets my mind going, you know?
Right.
QT, and he makes my mind go in different directions, you know? Probably directions it doesn't need to go, but I got to put my mind to something.
Right. Well, we do ask the existential questions on this show.
What?
We ask the existential questions on the show, yes.
Oh, yeah, you always have. You always have. You always will. I don't doubt it.
We might even sing you a song or two occasionally. Yes.
Yes. That's when I hang up, of course. But you know that. You already know that.
Well, depending on my plans, I may stick with it.
Say what?
Depends on how the voice is, if I'll stick with it or not. I might be nice. Oh, yeah, that was great.
That's
I'll
great.
Be a nice guy.
It's my fondest wish to sing a love duet with a lovely Lila Lodge. Yes.
You know, that may never happen, but you never know. Never know. You know, if you can't predict the future, you know, the future is unpredictable. It's hard to pave the way in front of you, you know. You don't know what's ahead of you, you know. You go left, you go right, you do a love, do it, you're not. You don't know, you can't tell. So you get there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I might be in a spot, and QT, you might be there, and I might look over to you, and Lila will be there, and I'll be there, and this might be love duet time, I don't know, but I can't say until I'm there, so...
If Lila Lodge doesn't agree to do a love duet with me, then I'll have to settle for the Razor Ramon. Yes.
Razor.
Well, that might be better.
Not 100% sure about that, but okay. I'll just go with what you're the genius, right, QT?
Oh, yes, my cap and gown, yes.
You're the brains, right? I mean, tell me you're the brains, right? Is Sign Guy the brains? Sign Guy's the brain.
Oh, Heidenreich made a huge impact on me, yes.
Oh, Heidenreich, okay, yeah, I bet. Okay. Yeah.
That
and
might be
everyone.
The first time anyone's credited Heidenreich in that fashion.
I'm sure he had his fans. You know, everyone has a fan, at least, right?
Yeah,
there's
that's
a fan.
True.
Everyone's got a fan. You know, you go to a show, who's your favorite wrestler? John Cena. Who's your favorite wrestler? John Heidenreich. You know. Okay. All right. I see it. I can dig it.
Do you really consider John Cena a wrestler?
Should I have called him an entertainer instead? Would that have been better?
Entertainer would be better.
I just had this conversation a couple of days ago. Isn't John Cena, he's the top wrestler in the world, right? I mean, I guess maybe him or Brock Lesnar or Rock, right?
Right.
Top three wrestlers in the world. I mean, he does some wrestling.
Yeah.
Some wrestling.
Rock's not the best either.
No. Brock Lesnar's awesome, right? He's worth $5 million a match or whatever, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, whatever he gets.
Yeah.
You know, Rock gets $25 million.
I prefer, yeah. I prefer The Rock in movies, not so much in wrestling.
What movies?
Yeah.
Tell me a good Rock movie.
Rock. Yeah, Rock?
Are you talking about the movie The Rock? You mean the actual movie called The Rock? I guess that's not that bad. Okay, I'll give it maybe 2 stars.
Right.
Like with Nicolas Cage, right? The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
2 stars, maybe. 1.5.
Well, Sean Connery, you know, don't forget Sean Connery. I mean, he plays a pretty good role in there, too.
Yeah, you know. There you go. 1.5 stars, maybe 1 star for that, The Rock. I give The Rock 1 star.
Right.
Hey, to be honest, I prefer Batista in movies, to be honest. Okay.
Batista? Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's another one I can't stand.
Hold on. What do we got in town? Going to Walmart again. Different stuff. Let me double. I got to double check. Give me a second. Hold on. Sorry, I lost you guys for a second. Almost got sucked into a wormhole, but I'm okay now, so I can talk. So.
Ah, okay.
But anyways, yeah, The Rock movie. Batista, I prefer Batista movies, personally.
Right.
Oh, no.
All right.
So anyway, good talking to you guys. I got to actually jam, though, suddenly. I don't mean to leave such abruptly. I know you guys are just chattering me up here. Hello, did I lose you?
What?
Fine, guys. Are we doing a radio show? What's going on? QT, hello.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
We appreciate
every time you
swinging on.
Hey,
and
why is it every time I come on as a guest that I just take over the show and you guys just silence? Are you that intimidated by me? That
you always take over commando on us. Yes.
You're very intimidating.
I've got
you
frozen in fear through the phone line. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, so I'll holler at you guys later. Thanks for the time to help promote future projects. That's what we're promoting here. We're promoting future Dash Venture projects. Look for them, I guess. So, talk to you later.
All right. Dash Venture, ladies and gentlemen, been a while since we had him on. Hopefully it will not be so long the next time. And
all right.
We're going to wrap this thing up. Chief, once again, it's been a pleasure having you on here, and we look forward to having you back sometime pretty soon.
Well, good. No problem. Anytime. I'd love to do it again.
All right, fans, get out there. Support your local independent professional wrestling. Find yourself a show near you. Get out there. Support them. Chief Little Bear in Dothan, Alabama tomorrow. Should be a great time. If they got the steel cage, you know you want to see that. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. Brittany Wonder out of the Hood Slam promotion going to be on Sunday, so should be a good time. We'll talk to you then.
everybody there.